So we are going to continue on the fear of the Lord, and we are going to focus especially on the learning the fear of the Lord, about the fear of the Lord. So we are going to look at this, and you know, where to start is really to look at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the source of that. Is the one that we had to imitate. Is the one that delighted in the fear of the Lord. Is the one that was obedient to the Father. Okay, and so, you know, we're going to see how we can learn the fear of the Lord. Okay, what we need to, how we are kind of going to understand that, the result is going to produce, and the part we have to play in that. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word. We open up our heart to you and to your word to guide us, to be able to receive and appropriate, Lord, this very important, Lord, experience and reality in our life. Help us, Lord. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and to be able to apply to our life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let's start with the understanding, okay, that the best example that we can get to connect with God is evidently Jesus. Okay. And we often go and look for other people or minister and so on, and we just missed the boat because he is the one that had the whole truth. Everybody else would never get to the place where Jesus was. And so you have to learn so from somebody, okay? He is the one that we should imitate. You know, Paul himself said, you know, in 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ, okay? But really, you know, sometimes somebody that was there, you can connect with, you know, my help. But, you know, Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit job, work, mission is actually to communicate what Jesus said and done to us so that we may be able to receive it and understand it. Okay? This is really the difference. And Jesus himself said, you know, that in himself, as a person, he could do nothing. But, he judged things properly. He had the proper perspective about things because he didn't want to do his own will, but he was geared, his objective, everything he was doing, he was doing the Father's will. So that's the place we had to start. If we want to get the same results, we had to have the same attitude. And that was his attitude. I would say it's part of it. Okay? And that attitude meant one key element. Obedience. Obedience to what God said that we should do. Obedience to what the things that we had to follow, and the commandments and all the other things that we had to respect and to allow to control our life. That what makes the difference. Okay. And understanding that today's world doesn't like that to start with. Generally the attitude, but it's been always like that from the very beginning. Okay. Even Lucifer didn't like to do that. Wanted to do his own thing, you know. I want to do my own thing. That's really the people. But you don't tell me what to do. Well, you know, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23 says very clearly, okay, when Saul blew it and went his own way, okay, that Samuel, the prophet, went to him and says, you know, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. So you see, we have to understand the impact of these things. that they have on us. Okay, how important is not to be rebellious, not to be reacting that way, okay, but to be open, to be directed, because that's the only way. See that with God, there is no other way but His way. You just can't convince Him otherwise. And so you better, you know, don't even waste the time to try to do it, because He doesn't, He's not convinced by our excuses. When we understand that and we start cooperating, then we are going to be accepted by Him. Okay. That's what happened, you know, all the time. When instead people reject, you know, He says it's like witchcraft. Witchcraft is actually try to be, you know, have one's own power instead of God's power working in us. Praise the Lord. So we have to understand that. And we can see that in Jesus' attitude and character all during His ministry. We can learn from Him. We can learn how to walk. We can learn how to change our position in our decision, making the proper decision according to God's judgment instead of according our own judgment. To do that, we have to know the Scripture, because otherwise there is no way that we can know that. It's not the way we think. It's that the Scriptures should be inside us to guide us and to show us what are the right decision, what are the right judgment, what are the right step to take, how to make decisions. And Jesus is our example. And really, you know, there are, I just quoted a scripture on John, okay, by before, John 5:30, but, you know, there are others all over the Bible that shows how the way Jesus judged and moved around. But in Philippians chapter 2, is, you know, John, I mean, Paul expands on that and give us, you know, insight in really what was going on inside, you know, Jesus' heart, in His position. Okay. There says, you know, let this mind be in you, with also in Christ Jesus. You see, we had to let, and the mind is not just thinking. That is an attitude. In attitude, it involves decisions, involves a judgment of things, is involves choices, involves values. Okay, and that always there are some things that we judge positive and negative, and we choose between those things. And the way we have to look at these things is according to God's way, not according necessarily to our selfish or personal viewpoint. Okay, so here it says, let this mind be in you, which actually is an attitude that was in you. In Greek is phroneo, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, because He never lost that, okay, He was always in the form of God, and He was from the form of God from the very beginning, at the same time as God in the very beginning, okay. But, you know, though He was in the form of God, hallelujah, did not count equality with God as things to be grasped. So He just limited Himself. Okay. And the word following verse, He emptied Himself, taking the form of a servant. That means obeying somebody else. Actually, the servant there, you know, is doulos, which actually means slave. So He put Himself out of obedience, complete obedience to the Father. Being born in the likeness of men. So He just started operating, functioning. It's not that He couldn't have done otherwise, but He chose to do that. He chose to function the way, so that we could learn from Him, so that we could see how to walk, so that we could do things, so that He could take our place. Praise the Lord. Okay, so that is a very important principle that we have to understand, that produces great results in ourselves, in our life. It changes everything. When we stop being, you know, independent and we start becoming dependent on God, then everything changes. Okay? He takes responsibilities that we cannot even understand. He enables us to direct us in a way that we cannot even imagine. The only way to actually discover it is actually to do it. When you do it, you're going to find out that things are starting to happen in your life, that the only thing you can say, you know, God is so big, so unbelievable, so powerful. Because he takes over things that you have not a clue of what to do about it. And you didn't even know where they were there. Praise the Lord. See, so that is, you know, the principle of obedience, emptying oneself, stop being the independent, self-made person, instead of realizing that you are made by him and he is going to guide you the way you should go. Hallelujah. Okay. It says, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. So, I mean, this is the greatest obedience you can do. I mean, giving up completely your life in obedience to what? Well, you know, not many are going to require to do that. But if anybody that required to do that is because they could and they were empowered to do it. I believe that Jesus was empowered to do that so that he could go through what he went through. Okay, under God's protection, even as he was going through that. I'm not going to expand on that, but that's I strongly believe that. It says, you know, even death on the cross. Okay, so that is that was complete obedience. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. Hallelujah. So really, you know, you can see, okay, that as a result of his humbling himself, what happened is that he was exalted. This is a general principle that applies for anybody that humbled himself before God. The people that exalt themselves, they'll be abased. They're going to lose it. They're going to, you know, not be blessed. And they're going to be humbled. The one that humbled themselves, they're going to be exalted. And when God does that, it makes all the difference. Okay, it gives you the victory. Where you couldn't get victory. It gives you the ability, okay, to, you know, achieve things that you wouldn't be able to do it in yourself. Okay? Because it's not anymore your power. It's not anymore your ability. It's actually dunamis, God's supernatural ability that is working in you to enable you to achieve results that are superhuman. Not because you are so powerful, but because his power is working in you. And you are his channel. And you are guided. And you are strengthened when there are things that you have to fight against. And you are directed when you have to make choices. Praise the Lord. And you are helped when you are weak. Praise the Lord. So you are going to operate not in your own strength, but in his strength. You know, Jesus said that the importance of being obedient, you know, and to follow his commandment, repeated many, many times. And you can see that in the whole Bible, but, you know, it can be summarized. I don't want to go too many things because we talked about something, some of these things already before. But, you know, he said very simply, if you love me, keep my commandments. You see, the keeping the commandment and loving God go together. If you don't, in other places said, you know, if you don't keep my commandment, it's because you don't love me. So that is really the indication, okay, that actually we obey, follow the first commandment, that he showed that to us, as to love the God with everything we got, our heart, our mind, our soul, everything, our strength. Okay, obedience is the most important thing that we can develop in us. You know, in John chapter 14, verse 16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide in you forever." You see, that's, when there is no obedience, okay, first of all, shows that there is no love. Okay, shows also that your priorities are not the same priority of God. A consequence of that, there are not going to be no blessings, no matter what. Okay, but, when you get this other helper, this another helper, which is, it would be another because it's in his place. I mean, the helper that he gives, is a personal helper that is working in his place and do the same work that he did, and he communicated you the same thing that he would have communicated and has communicated already. So it's just the way it works, And there is, the area of the Holy Spirit, the understanding of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is probably one that is more confused even today. I believe the Lord is trying to clean that up. But really, that's the area in which I think we really yet have to grow into the place in which we operate properly on the Holy Spirit, because all the time that there is operation of the Holy Spirit, the enemy comes in and brings more confusion than was before. You can see in the history of Christianity, okay, even the time when there were great revivals, the enemy came in and messed up the whole thing, that at the end people wouldn't know anymore what was right and what was wrong. I can give you example over example. Take Azusa Street. Everybody, Azusa Street. You know why Azusa Street stopped? Because witches came into it. And there was no leadership to say and stop them, because the leader did not understand the difference between demons and the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing all the time. All the time, the same thing repeats itself. After a while, the enemy comes in, and instead of moving in the right direction, goes the wrong direction. Not for everybody. A small group, hold on, understand, but many, the majority, get off a tangent. You know how, I'm getting off a bit tangent here, but this is important. You know how all the theology came about in Christianity? To correct heresies. From the very beginning. Heresy started at the very beginning of the church. In the first century of the church, there were more heresy. They covered up all the heresy that are coming up to now. One should study the history of theology, and you will see the way that worked. It was a fight all the time against the deception that the enemy came and spread in the church, so that they had to come up with a statement to make sure that people knew the truth. But some truth, the truth always prevailed, and these things were demolished one by one. But, at each time there are going to be heresies around that infiltrate the church and damage believers. And often are mixed just with the work of the Holy Spirit, because the enemy hates that. Praise the Lord. God is powerful and has the victory over the flesh of people. Because that's the problem. See, the enemy knows how to get in because he uses the flesh of believers to take them and to trap them into things. So, yeah, so this is really important to understand. We had to connect with the Holy Spirit. We had to learn to connect with the Holy Spirit because otherwise we cannot grow spiritually. You cannot grow spiritually by doing Bible study. Because after you've done Bible study, you're going to scratch your head and say, oh, what do I do with that? You don't know how to understand and how to apply spiritual truth. That's what the Bible says. So, and the only way to overcome that hurdle, that problem, is by connecting with the Holy Spirit that illuminates you the same way as illuminated the people that wrote the Bible. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, in 2 Corinthians, let me see. Yeah, I want to make sure that I don't jump anything here. Because if we want to get anywhere in developing the fear of the Lord, we have to have some basic understanding about some things, not to be able to be deceived about these things. Because the flesh doesn't like that topic. Okay. So, going to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 9 says, therefore, we make it our mind, our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. So this has to be our position. We have to be wanting to be pleasing to God. Okay. For we must all appear before a judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in their body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. See, there is lots of people that are going to reject this statement. So, oh, you know, born again believer and I'm going to be judged. Do you know the Bible? Everybody is going to be judged before the throne of Christ. He is the righteous to be able to judge everyone. Now our judgment is going to be, you know, taking consideration, it's going to be a just judgment. Because God knows everything. And everything that you did in your life is written in the book of life. God not just know the things you did, but God also know the things you didn't say, the thing you thought, you think you desired, the position you had. Everything is written down. And he is completely aware of everything, so you can't fool anybody. You can fool yourself, but not God, not Jesus. See, he has the right to do that. Because he gave his life for yours. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, you know, I'm not going to get into the detail of that, what the way that's going to work, because that's in a topic in itself. Okay. But really, you know, we had to, if you want to know the way it functions, just go and read 1 John chapter 1, the whole chapter. That's the direction for us to have a good time when we are going to go there. Okay. Now, let me continue here. Okay. We had to learn. We had to learn. Okay. To walk and to hear the Holy Spirit teaching us, because otherwise we cannot grow spiritually. Okay. That doesn't mean to, you know, that means, you know, having discernment of what we hear people saying and what we think ourselves, because one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to correct us, is to direct us, is to show us things to come that we don't know. Okay. And the important thing that we have to realize that naturally we are not very good to connect with the Holy Spirit. So you say that. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 says, these things we also speak, not with words which man wisdom teaches, by which the Holy Spirit, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual, think with spiritual. Okay, so it doesn't say by reasoning around the thing. He's saying comparing spirituals with spiritual thing. How do you do that? The only way to do that is that you don't go according to your own reasoning, but you adjust or understand or find the meaning of scripture from other scriptures. That's what he's talking. The spiritual thing is, the only spiritual thing that we can connect out there are scriptures. So he's telling us the only way we are going to be able to understand and connect is actually making that connection between the scripture to scripture, so that we understand that when we put them together, the picture become clear. Okay, let me continue. Okay, so that gives us the proper understanding. It's not a question of interpreting scripture according to our programs, our maybe computer programs or other things, or your thinking or your logic. It's according to God's way of looking at things. Okay? And the interesting thing, you know, he is going to show you exactly the scripture that we need if you ask him. You know, it happened to me last night. You know, I was dreaming, and the Lord told me exactly the scripture that I needed to demolish some arguments that were against the truth. I woke up and I forgot it. But I remembered after. It was amazing because I worked on this for a long time and I wrote lots of stuff on it. And he just came up with one little scripture. He says, that demolished this whole thing. Oh yeah, good idea. It's amazing. God is amazing. Okay? He goes beyond all our physical and mental effort because he knows everything. Okay? Anyway, praise the Lord. So continue here. See, so you just, you know, not with word which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So the Spirit, the word, bring you the scriptures there. The Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches, okay? Because following verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, the idea is, cannot receive. Okay, the word there is dikomai. See, receive generally is lambano, but this is not lambano, this is dikomai, which means he cannot even accept them. It just don't fit properly. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? Just, you know, just feel uncomfortable because you just can't get it. But that's what he's saying, that this is what he's going, you know, because, you know, the Spirit of God, these are foolishness to him. Okay? But, you know, we can know, because the only way to know is to be spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned means, you know, the word there is diakrino, which actually means, you know, that you're comparing things, mixing things together, and they're going to come together in a way that the whole thing makes sense and says, oh, yes, that's the way it is. Hallelujah. See, the way you get the understanding. Okay, so it says, but he who is spiritual, see, that's the natural man that cannot do that, cannot make that kind of reasoning. See, but who is spiritual judges all things, and himself is judged by no one. So really this is telling us, you know, that really to connect with the Holy Spirit, you have to be spiritual. Now that created a big problem. Because how do you get spiritual if you're not spiritual? Okay. Well, the thing is, you see, the word gives us all the instruction for that. It tells us exactly the way we cannot do it and the way it's going to happen. Praise the Lord. Okay. You know, the flesh only confuses, distort, and misapply spiritual understanding. Cannot, I said it before, cannot get it. It just doesn't fit with it. Okay. And the flesh is ruling life of people that even are born again believers. Okay. Especially at the beginning. At the beginning, you know, the change that took place in the flesh. I mean, the flesh is really strong, not weak, and they just take the root rules there. So how are you going to break through that? One thing you have to understand, patience. I mean, that's as simple as that, okay? I read the scripture, you know, last week, okay? You had to start eating solid food. I mean, you had to start going to the scripture and going read stuff that you really can't digest very well. See, babies drink milk, okay? And so do young Christians, born-again believers. You know, they like the scripture that they make them feel good, but there are some scripture that don't make you feel that good because there are things that need to be dealt in your life. And so, you know, it's like giving a big steak to some people, some kids that is 2 months old. The only way you have to do it is chop it up really small so that then you just produce it kind of almost liquid for them to be able to take it. And as they grow, they start being able to get more and more solid food. And with the solid food comes the ability to digest what they're eating. It's the same thing with the scripture. Okay. It says here, you know, but solid food belongs to those who are full of age. Doesn't mean that they're really old. It means that they are grown up. Those who by reason of use, they have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Okay, this is the thing. So, I mean, that means, you know, you cannot do it quickly. You had to break the flesh slowly, bit, by going and learning to you to go to food that is heavier and heavier to take. Okay? Now, that's why, you know, Paul advised, you know, not to get the novice to be in leadership because it's going to be a problem. Because they're going to be guided by flesh. Well, you know, sometimes I'm afraid, but there are people that have been in the ministry for 50 years and they're just as bad. Because they never went through the process of eating the right type of food. You see, it's the food you eat. The type of substance that sustains you that makes a difference. Praise the Lord. You know, took Moses 40 years to get ready for this job. Took Abraham 25 years to get the initial result. So, oh my goodness, you know, it's going to take me. It's going to take as long as it needed. We are in a different time with different environment, different things, much more information than ever was before. And so if we really want, we can make the right choices and move more quickly. Praise the Lord. But that's really what takes place. That we have to understand that our flesh cannot get this. And if we are trying to learn about the fear of the Lord, there is no way that we can learn by being fleshy. That's why I'm spending some time. I'm not going to take 25 years. I'm spending some time to bring you to realize what is involved so that you can understand the process that has to take place, because everything is a process for us. Okay? We have to learn the fear of the Lord. And the only way that we are going to learn it is by the direction and the illumination of the Holy Spirit that is going to be in us. It's not just by Bible study. It's not by somebody preaching to you. So, this is why, you know, for example, I give you a scripture here, okay? In Psalm 34, verse 9, says, "Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints." See, he's not referring to, I mean, he's talking about the saints already. He's not talking about unbelievers. I'm not talking about, you know, world, fear the Lord, because they're not going to. Because that's not part of their nature, because they're fleshy. But saints supposed to be already in the way to break through from the flesh. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. And says, so one, you know, and say, you know, to motivate us, you know, there is no want to those who fear him. So he's showing something here important, you know, that believers, saints, are not going to have no want if they are fearing God. Okay, there's going to be a difference in the way we live, in the experience we have day by day, on the way the Lord is working in our life, that is going to be really effective. Praise the Lord. So this is a promise, if you want, or exhortation for those that are connected with God and want to be more connected, want to get farther. And you know what it is? There is no want for those who fear him. Hallelujah. The following verse says, "The young lion lacks and suffer anger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good things." So, you know, the young lion is the guy that is so strong, you know, I can do everything. And no, that's not the saints, the one that is submitted to God, that is willing to do the things that God told him. The one is humbled himself before him. Hallelujah. Then goes on and says something that is related to what I've been building up to. He says, "Come," verse 11, "come, you children." So it's already people that are connected with God. Okay. "Listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." So, you know, who is there? That's God himself. That's the Holy Spirit that wants to talk to you and he wants to teach you about the fear of the Lord so that you can have the benefits, so that you can have the things I was talking about before, that you have no want in your life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay, you want to experience Psalm 23? Well, learn about the fear of the Lord and you are going to be exactly in that place. Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That makes all the difference. You shall not lack any good thing. Okay. Now, it's the Holy Spirit that does the word. So, let's see a bit more about that. Okay. The Holy Spirit is teaching. The learning is not automatic. We had to hear from the Holy Spirit, and we had to be taught by him, so he has to guide us in the thing we had to do. Okay, the natural man does not trust God, doesn't hear the Holy Spirit, he's not going to follow, he's never going to know the fear of the Lord. That's the bottom line. He's going to just, you know, what he's going to do is to flee from the fear of the Lord. And so, what happened is, the enemy is going to stick around there. Instead of resisting the fear of the Lord, you know, and fleeing from God, what we have to do is resist the devil and he will flee. See, that's one of the results that's taking place. You will be set free from any of the attacks or the work of the enemy, the way the enemy try to attacks you and work on you. Okay, so let me continue here. Okay, for who desires life and loves many days, that may see good. So the idea is, you know, if you want, who is the man that would want to do these things? You know, this is the one that is going to be connected to the fear of the Lord. You know, and the way it's going to happen is that the result is going to have in your behavior, okay, as the verse come after, keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking deceit. Okay, so evil is anything that is really against the word of God. Okay, lips, you know, one of the areas that you're going to see all the time it talks about is our tongue, what we say, what we think, what we, you know, judge, the, you know, the outer way. So, you know, this is really always the element that comes up over and over in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. Okay, then depart from evil and do good and peace, seek peace and pursue it. So, this is really the thing. Okay, now, goes a bit farther there. Okay. Says verse 30, chapter 34, Psalm 34, verse 17. I just skip some of them because otherwise we don't have time to finish everything here. Says there, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them from all their troubles. Okay? Now here is talking about the righteous. And the righteous, we have seen it before, recently, that is more than just somebody is born again. Because, oh, I'm born again, I'm forgiven. Wait a minute. You know, the way you walk determines if you are righteous or not. Your walk has to correspond to your position. If it doesn't correspond to your position, that means you are not manifesting what you say you are. This is repeated over and over and over in the Bible. What you do is important, and it reflects really the position of your heart, because that's the way you make the decisions. You don't do to get saved, but if you are saved, you walk like a saved person. That's not what the hyper-grace people say, but that's heresy. Now, continue here. Let's now go into the more, okay? I suggest Psalm 34. It's a good psalm if you want to meditate, to think about, and to expand on the fear of the Lord, to meditate. I didn't cover everything, and you can go and read it yourself and just learn some things that are going to be useful, okay? But I'm going to continue, though, in more of another aspect, okay, the inner part of the process has to take place in you and what's going on to be able to connect with the fear of the Lord. And to do that, okay, how you're going to receive the fear of the Lord. In this case, the receiving that I'm talking about is not dukamai, okay, accepting, is grabbing it, is lambano, is taking the fear of the Lord, making it yours because you want it. Okay? So this is Wigon's Proverb chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Okay? Your thought, your attitude toward God and God's word is critical for that. It says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands with you, receive there in Hebrew is loquak, which actually means it's the same thing as lambano. Okay, it's not the dokemai, it's just, you know, you have to grab it. You know, you have a part to play. It's an active act of taking something, okay? Take actively, and you take it as a treasure. Okay, we talked before that actually the prayer is a treasure of the Lord. Okay, but really your attitude, you have to look at that, not just like something good to have. No, something that is valuable, something that you are going to protect, that you are going to give lots of value, that you are going to hide for yourself like a treasure. Okay? This is the attitude that should be in you. Okay? Verse 2. So that you will incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. There you are. Okay, there is, are going to open up. You see, you are going to connect with the word. It says there, you know, receive my words. But you receive the words not just by just doing a little study and doing, no. You just go there to suck everything out of it that you can. Are you following me? See, that one makes a difference. You go there to just get what is there, get the wisdom, because that's where the wisdom comes. And apply, you know, you so that you get, you know, your wisdom and you get a heart to understand, okay, the understanding. So you are really are going to get two things that are important. Wisdom is to know what to do in situation. Understanding is to understand the way it works, the way it, what to do with it. Okay, so may continue. Verse 3. Praise the Lord. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift your voice for understanding. There you are. So the position here is actually that you are really almost, you know, violent to get it out, to get what you're looking for. To get what? Wisdom, okay? To get the discernment, to go and to do the splitting that we saw before, you know, the judgment to, from the scripture, looking at the scripture, combining them together, putting them together, try to see how what understanding will give you, okay? Okay. So cry out for discernment, lift up your voices for understanding. So you really are vocal about it, okay? You are really not just wanting to do it, want to get some. You really seek, seeker as silver, searcher as for hidden treasure. So that's the things that has to be your position, your attitude. You really have to want it, okay? This is really clear. You know, that you are not just playing a game or you're not just, you know, trying to figure it out. No, you are really pushing in. Okay? All right. Then what happened? The result, what they're going to get. You see, there has to be such a strong desire and commitment to get it if you want to get the fear of the Lord understanding. Okay? If you just, oh, another teaching, another doctrine. It's not going to work. That's what it's saying. It says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. See, if you want to understand the fear of the Lord, you have to go through that process before. Okay? And find the knowledge of God. I mean, that seems to me is a big step, a big promise, don't you think? I mean, you're going to understand the way what the things that God knows, what is the knowledge of God, how God works, how God do things, how God judges things. Praise the Lord. It's not because somebody said it, because you are going to know it yourself. Okay. Let me continue. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth knowledge come knowledge and understanding. So you see, has to come, you have to get it from him directly. Nobody can give it to you. They can give you some information. They cannot give you revelation. This is what talking about here. It's talking about finding out from direct source, from the Holy Spirit, opening up and illuminating to you those truths, so that, at the beginning, you may just get a bit of an inkling of what's meaning, but it takes time. For reason of use, you practice your senses so that you get through, or get through to you, okay, what he's talking about. So that it's really become an integral part of your thinking, of your judgment, of your ideas. Okay, let me continue. It's for the Lord gives wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Okay. Verse 7. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright and a shield for those who walk uprightly. You see, repeat that concept I said before. You know, the righteous is not just the one that got saved. The righteous is the God that got saved and walk right. Okay. Here he's calling, you know, he's actually talking about, you know, just to make sure that we get it. Okay, repeat itself in two times to expand on the, you know, store up sound wisdom for the upright. And he shields those who walk uprightly. So you see, if you want to get shield, you have to walk the right way. Because if you are just not walking uprightly and you do the wrong thing, things happen to you. And, you know, you can complain, why that happened? Well, because you didn't understand. You weren't knowing what you're doing. Because you didn't really follow God's direction and the understanding. You weren't obeying completely, because otherwise you wouldn't be there. Praise the Lord. You see, this is not for carnal believers. Carnal believers doesn't even like to hear that, because they want to do whatever they feel like it. But if you walk uprightly, it's because you already have been grown spiritually to know the way to walk, and you are starting to do that. And you start to have some discernment. Praise the Lord. Walking uprightly is one who walk in the light. Now, you cannot walk more in the light than you already the light you have. Okay? But as you walk in the light, you're going to get more light if you read 1 John chapter 1, 1 to 10. The way it works. Are you following what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. See, that is the way God protection comes from the following verse, Proverbs 2:8. He guards the path of the of justice and preserve the way of his saints. So you see, God, he just doesn't let things happen. See, I mean, lots of people believe that the Lord is not as powerful as the devil, because they see the devil all the place and say, well, you know, the devil does that and the other things. Sorry. The devil cannot do anything that he says you cannot do. And he says he cannot do to the devil all the time. Otherwise, the world will be even a mess, more messy than it is now. Okay, he's in control. He's in full control. And when we start connecting with him, we realize how much he's in control. Because the enemy can't do anything. Can't push you around anymore. If we let him push us around, he will. But you know where you stand. You have the assurance. You know the path of justice. You know, you follow that path. He is going to preserve you in the way, you know, that you should go. Praise the Lord. See? This is what the difference was before Moses and the children of Israel. You know, in Psalm 103, it says very clearly, you know, that Moses knew God's way. The children of Israel knew his act. See, the only thing they saw, the big miracles that God was doing, did it do much good to them? Not really, because they were complaining all the time anyway. And Moses had to intervene for them to, so that they wouldn't be blasted. But wasn't the God really doing it? You know, the devil was doing it. When he had lots of pleasure in doing it because they were exposing themselves. Praise the Lord. Okay. So that is what we can experience. Okay, start to know, start to see, start to understand God the way Moses did. Took him 40 years to get to the place in which he knew Moses. Because at the beginning, you know, he just saw somebody abusing a Jew and he killed him. Wasn't listening to God. He thought he was doing something good. Okay, let me continue here. Praise God. Ask Moses, you will know God's way. Then says something else, and that's the really, the, you know, icing in the cake. Okay, Proverbs 2:9. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. So you see, that means that if you don't understand the fear of the Lord, if you don't do all these things, you cannot even know righteousness. You don't even know what's the right thing to do. That's what it's saying to us. You see, when you do all these things, then you understand really why God does certain things, why God allows certain things to happen, why he's working this, you know, how he's working in the world today. And he is working in the world. You'll be sure. Praise the Lord. See, the Bible says that the devil, you know, is the god of this world. Doesn't mean he's the god of this world physically. Means it's the god of the people of the world, because they worship him and they're submitted to him instead of being submitted to God. But people take that meaning that he's powerful on the world. No, he's not. He's a loser. He lost from Jesus. When Jesus died, he just didn't understand anything. He was taken just as a snare, and he just fell for it. Okay. And so, you know, some people think that, you know, the devil is so powerful. Look what he's doing in the world. No. People are so stupid to let him do that to him. They're going his way instead of listening to God and listening to his direction and getting the wisdom and making the effort and accepting. They rebel against God the same way as Satan does. That's why they listen to him. Praise the Lord. So now we covered up many things that we can do, steps that we can take, understanding that we need. Okay. Learn from Jesus. Jesus is the example that shows us how to get complete victory. He has the place above every name on this earth and under the earth, everywhere in the heaven. Okay. He is the one that we can do. Okay. To understand spiritual thing, you need to connect with the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit going to show it to you. He's going to guide you. He's going to help you. Okay, and you have to learn, you have to go through the process. You have to be patient to go through whatever you need to train yourself. Otherwise, you're not going to get it that easily. You know, people, today everything, instant food pudding, instant meal, instant thing, instant nothing, because you get nothing that way. Just the only thing you do is eat junk. Praise the Lord. All right? So, you learn, understand the result you're going to get, see the expectation you want, seek it, seek with everything you got. Is it worth it? It's worth it, definitely worth it. You are going to know God's ways. You want to know what is righteous decision, righteous judgment. You are going to walk in his way and be protected from everything that comes may come against you. And if something tries to, you know what to do about it. Amen? Okay, let's pray together. Okay. You know, theory without application is a waste of time. We need to, you know, apply the truth that we have to benefit from it and to see the difference and to motivate it even to get more. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. They give us all the direction that we need. We come before you, calling upon your name, calling on Jesus and the Holy Spirit to guide us, to show us, to teach us, to help us to overcome our limitations, our shortcomings, our flesh, that we may grow in our spirit closer to you, closer to Jesus. Thank you for what you have done and what given to us. You've given us Jesus' life. Our life may be mixed with this and may be transformed more and more like his life. We thank you in advance for the things you're going to give us as we apply ourselves to follow your way and to learn the fear of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord.